I'm off then. Thanks for coming. Oh dear. I mean, I often think that I'm really just a high-level troll who ended up in Christian ministry. Because when thinking of an introduction for this sermon, all I could think about was Ricky Gervais's last monologue at the Golden Globes, where he gets up and he says, "Well, this is my last time doing this, so I don't care anymore." That's his opening line. Then he goes on to say, "No, sorry, I never did." So I couldn't get it out of my head, and I thought, that's not appropriate. But there's something about the inappropriateness, and while I'm speaking off the cuff here, there'll be plenty of inappropriateness, but Peter McPherson is so appropriate. Everything he says is always so measured. Have you ever found a typo in Contact? I mean, every week I would send my stuff through to Contact and Peter would correct it. It's actually, I mean, you could look at it two ways. You could say, well, that's condescending, or you could say, well, he got a better education than I did. Or you could just be thankful that he has covered over many of my faults and foibles when it comes to the English language. But unlike Ricky Gervais, I do care. I always did care, and this is not going to be at your expense. I am here to say goodbye, and I'm here to say thank you, and to wish you all well as we continue our mission together in spirit, though it won't be in person. And I'm not going to give you an exposition of the passage read today, but it's one of Paul's great farewells, and so it seemed appropriate to use it to set the tone. So I want to thank you. I want to thank St. Alfred's for the warmth of welcome you gave Esme, Liam, Toby and I 7 years ago. In fact, today's the 26th of January. We started on the 27th of January, so it really has come full circle over 7 years. I want to thank you for your love and fellowship, including the many small kindnesses you've extended to us over the years. Peter McPherson often reminds us at staff meetings that Christian ministry is a privilege, and it's indeed been a great privilege to be a part of this ministry, and particularly to be given leadership of the Sunday evening congregation, where there is a vitality of faith, where there's sincere worship, where there's vision for service, as there is across St. Alfred's as a whole. 7 years ago when I stepped into this role, it was a great challenge. It was a blessing, but also a challenge. I had been in ordained ministry for 2 years, and they weren't easy years, to be honest with you, especially with the birth of Toby, 18 months into my new vocation. And for those of you who don't know, our son Toby has a rare syndrome called Cornelia de Lange syndrome. And this affects him intellectually, it affects him physically, and it affects his potential. And so we arrived at St. Alfred's with anticipation and with energy for service, but we were also processing a lot of uncertainty. Toby wasn't diagnosed for the first 2 years of his life, and we were facing a lot of grief. And on the other hand, we walked into a church that had been experiencing an unusual level of numerical growth. And St. Alfred's had then, as it does now, it has a great sense of optimism and energy. And one passage of scripture that came to me an uncanny number of times as I was leaving St. Luke's Frankston and also preparing to come to St. Alfred's was Moses' charge to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." And I wasn't feeling that confident myself, but I did feel that God was behind my move to St. Alfred's. And I remember speaking to the then director of theological education, who was responsible for curates, those in their first 4 years of ordained ministry. And his name's Robert Presland. And he told me that he felt that this move was a God thing. And I still feel after 7 years that it has been a God thing. And the God thing has been mixed in with my own frailty and my own sinfulness, but it has been a great honour and a great privilege to have been God's broken vessel of ministry among you. St. Alf's mission is to help people become mature followers of Jesus Christ. And I have respected that mission statement, and I've used it as a guiding principle in my leadership of Sundays at 6 p.m. And I want to spend this sermon, if you can call it a sermon, it's really a farewell speech, noting highlights of my time here, and I'm going to do so under five headings. So there you go, it's a sermon now. and the five headings are Preaching, service, worship, vision, and fellowship. So first of all, preaching. Being part of the leadership team and the ordained leadership team at St. Alf's has really stretched me as a preacher. It's forced me to grow, forced me to get professional development, to learn more about the art and craft of preaching. And it's been a great passion and a great privilege to do so. And St. Alf's commitment to a strong preaching ministry is the key plank, I would say, of its health over the years. The preaching of God's word drives everything else in ministry. And yet it takes great discipline. And it takes great faith to keep preaching central. And because we don't always see the results of preaching. And then there are voices from the world and perhaps from the education sector saying, well, monologues to adults don't work. They're ineffective. And then you have the pressures of the administrative burden of ministry and other pastoral responsibilities that weigh upon a pastor's time. And it's actually quite easy for ministry teams to loosen their grip on the centrality of the preaching of God's word. But St. Alfred's hasn't done that, and you owe Peter McPherson a great debt of gratitude for his leadership and his commitment at St. Alfred's to preaching, and we're all very grateful to him for that. One aspect that I've enjoyed about our preaching is that we maintain a commitment to expository preaching, that is, going through books of the Bible, but also we inject a variety into the preaching diet by addressing various topics and themes that are pastorally pressing or big issues in our world. And I've also appreciated our steady commitment to visiting preachers that keep us connected to God's family and God's kingdom beyond the four walls of St. Alfred's. Third, St. Alfred's has a healthy commitment to training preachers. We actually don't have a specific program that I could point you to in that regard, but we do have a fair diet of lay preaching over the course of a year, and it's been a great privilege to be personally involved in training and supervising many of these lay preachers in my time at Sundays at 6 p.m. Now, this pipeline of leadership, whether it be training up service leaders, training up preachers, training up our growth group leaders, just lifting the tide in terms of our capacity for gospel ministry. This is vital for our church and especially for the future of gospel ministry in our city and around the world. And now look, a church is not a Bible college, okay? We can't turn a church just into a training venue, and because it's more than that. And what we are actually is we're God's people gathered around his word in fellowship. We're God's covenant community. So we're not a parachurch organisation. We're a church. And the ordained elders are those who are principally called to do most of the preaching. However, St. Alf's does invest in the next generation. It enriches us and the church beyond us. I remember having a chat with Tim Foster, faculty at Ridley, Melbourne, and he was remarking to me that St. Alfred's is one of the key feeders of theological students into Ridley, Melbourne. And that has been the case. These things do ebb and flow over the years, but that has been the case in recent years, and we want to see that continue and be strong. So preaching is the first thing I want to mention. Second, service. Thanks to God, St. Alfred's is blessed with a strong lay leadership. And I've been very humbled and encouraged by the giftedness and faithfulness of our lay leaders. We could mention our Pulse youth team. We could mention our young adult growth group leaders and our middle-aged growth group leaders. You know, when I started, the 6 p.m. growth groups network was called the Young Adult Growth Groups. And there, over the years, there started to be an increasing stir about this title because some people were getting perilously close to the age of 40. So we changed the name. We changed the name to Sundays at 6 Growth Groups. And then there was silence. But actually, one of the things that has happened over the years is the research has shown that what you really need if you want to disciple teenagers and if you want to disciple young adults effectively, you have to integrate them into the intergenerational fellowship that is the church. You can't put them off in a pen on their own where they just mix with their own age group and expect them to come out well-rounded disciples 10 years later. And so one of the key developments, I think, in our leadership of our youth and young adult ministries has been that working towards integration, but also the young adults and teens themselves valuing that integration. So getting more older saints into the youth ministry team, and getting more intergenerational growth groups, and getting our senior saints leading some growth groups, and that sort of thing has been part of our rounding out of our discipleship. But we're blessed to have so many servant-hearted leaders who give up their time to serve others, whether it be with food, the Word of God, prayer, and encouragement on a weekly basis. And it's been a great joy of mine to meet up with, to pastorally care for, and to pray with and encourage our servant leaders over the last 7 years. And one of my key tasks, given the size of the evening congregation, has been to invest not only in lay leaders, but in leaders of leaders. For example, we don't only need growth group leaders, we need a growth group's director. And Bronwyn Fernando has done an outstanding job in that role over the last 3 years. And the 6pm leadership team has 6 members who have worked under my leadership, and it's through them that I lead the congregation, essentially. And it's been a great privilege to invest in them, to pastorally care for them, and to help them care for others, as that kind of care and that gospel ethos cascades down through the leadership structure. So the team is in good health. Excuse me. The team's in good health and will continue to look after the congregation after I depart. And as you know, because Peter's already leaked it out through the contact covenant, it's one of the key. Did you know that one of the most effective ways to communicate through a large organisation is by leaking things from the top level of leadership? No, it's actually true. If you leak things, it gets through the organisation faster because people love to gossip. One effective way of getting a message through the congregation is to just put a little line in the contact cover note, and you'd be amazed at how quickly it goes through. So you'll already know, Peter I'm sure will announce it, but Lauren Weatherlake is going to be taking on a number of my responsibilities on an interim basis as you pray and wait for the next Sundays at 6pm minister. Now, looking further afield, I've been able to encourage quite a few to do study at Ridley and to bless those who have gone out from this church to overseas mission. St. Alfred's has such a strong ethos of mission, especially global mission, and that's been one of the many ways that you've blessed and shaped me. I don't think I've been discipled in a church that has quite this level of focus, and it's something that I will certainly take with me now that I'm leaving. There are so many more things I could say under the heading of this church's commitment to Christian service, both here and beyond. And when you look at the National Church Life Survey, when you look at the profile of St. Alfred's, service is St. Alfred's number one strength. I've had to invest in my own professional development every year to be able to continue to lead aspiring leaders from this church. And so you've been a spur and an encouragement to me. And I want to mention Chris Dury as well. I've supervised Chris for 4 years, and our fortnightly or monthly catch-ups have been a great highlight. I do think we solved all of the problems of the world in those meetings, and I've enjoyed working with him a great deal, as I have our other staff members, and I wish him all the best as he continues serving here. I'm going to mention Mike McNamara, my fellow comrade in arms as an ordained associate here. Thank you, Mike, for your friendship, support, and your sense of humour. One of the things we discovered was how thin the wall is between my office and his. I know most of what's going on in your lives. No, but I mean, making fun with Mike has been a great pastime as well. One thing I did when I first arrived, given that this is a fairly low church environment, fairly contemporary feel, the first time I was leading the Wednesdays at 10 a.m. congregation, I bought my white cassock and a green stole. And I dressed up in this and I walked into Mike's office as though this was perfectly normal. And I said, "Come on, Mike, we need to go and lead this service now." He looked me up and down in this very, very British way. And he said, "Oh, yes, all right then, yes." And so we walked off to lead the service. And then I said, "Look, I'm just kidding. I just wore this just to wind you up." So... Well, he responded by saying, "Well, it's I don't mind what you wear. It's just great to see Peter Adam in the congregation ready to hear your preaching this morning." But every now and again, when I'm feeling slightly bored, which hasn't been very often at St. Elf's, I will turn up, you know, "God Save the Queen," or maybe one of the speeches of Winston Churchill, just a little too loud in my office. And Mike Mike has a great moment of nostalgia. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Well, third, getting on from service to worship. Corporate worship at St. Elf's is a rare thing. I think it enjoys a rare combination of order and ardour. It's ordered Anglican worship. Don't laugh, that's not funny. Order, that order, please. It enjoys the essence of the Anglican tradition, which is that we are plugged into the history of corporate Christian worship. We're plugged into a tradition that is bigger than us. But the contemporary element also brings a spiritual energy that's in our kind of cultural context. And we're blessed to have Helen Petering in the morning. Thank you, Helen, for your service. And Will Thiel has been leading the teams in the evening in recent years. And I've maintained in the evening service a commitment to Anglican worship with a contemporary flavour. Now, some would say that's a bad move when it comes to young adult ministry and young adult discipleship. But I think Anglican corporate worship invites the congregation into something bigger than themselves. It invites them into the universal church in a way that mere informality can never do. And at the same time, contemporary styles enable people to worship in a way that resonates with them in the culture they inhabit. So I've tried to maintain both elements and continue to do so in my ministry. You see, God is present with us, but God's also transcendent, you see, and we have to model both elements of God's identity and the way in which we relate to him in our corporate worship. Now, generally speaking, among young adults, the pressure is always to make things more present, more intimate, and less formal. But this, if you give into it and you say, well, we'll cut out the Lord's Prayer, we'll cut out corporate confession time, we won't sing any old hymns, we'll just cut all of that out, then what you end up with is a congregation that hasn't done the hard work of entering into a relationship and experience of a God that is really any different to themselves. And so through our corporate worship, we need to tell people that this is fundamentally not about you, it's about God, and it's fundamentally about you entering into a relationship with a God who loves you and is near to you, but is also bigger than you and is holy. I want to also note the ethos of celebration that marks services at St. Elf's, whether our Christmas Eve late service, our baptism services, where we hire the outdoor spa and put it in the courtyard, and it's a wonderful spirit to have as Christians, celebration. It's like, you know, Paul says at the start of the passage read today, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. And I know some translations say it really should be translated farewell, but I'm going with rejoice. I'm happy to argue that out with you later. But rejoicing marks the beginning and the end of the Christian life. We're rejoicing because of all that Christ has done for us. And so a spirit of celebration and a spirit of rejoicing always should be utmost in our corporate life. Yes, there's times for lament. There's times for conviction, there's times for tears and mourning, but celebration and praise ought to be the beginning and the end. And so these services are so important in that regard, and it's a wonderful spirit that St. Alfred's has, and I would hope that it will continue. I look back with thanksgiving at the privilege and joy it's been to baptise many at Sundays at 6 and our special Easter Sunday evening services where many of these baptisms have taken place. And finally, under worship, I'd like to mention St. Elf's commitment to praying for one another during our times of worship, whether it's prayer for healing or prayer teams during communion, which have been the evening congregation's practice over the last couple of years. Praying like this shows that we believe God. We don't just believe in God, we believe God. We expect God to work among us. It's an expression of love and compassion and fellowship, and it flows out into deepening relationships and many other expressions of service. So do keep it up. Fourth, vision. When I arrived at St. Alfred's, the then Mission Action Plan stated a vision for the evening congregation. Grow the evening service to be a vibrant, missions and evangelism-focused young adult evening congregation serving upwards of 230 members, half of whom come through our children's and youth ministries, and half of whom come through outreach. So I inherited that juggernaut, and it was indeed a bold vision, and I gave it a red-hot go as my skills allowed at the time. But in actual fact, the evening congregation grew to around the 150 mark, and it's stabilised there, and it's continued to bounce around that number rather than break through the 200 barrier. Now, I have my theories on that, and maybe some of you do as well, but the fact that there was a bold vision at all shows that St. Alfred's is a church that looks to the future with expectation and puts its hand to the plough to keep driving the mission forward. Having a big vision has led to big initiatives, or at least bigger than otherwise would have been. For example, in 2014, the Pulse Youth Ministry and Sundays at Six Growth Groups decided that each of them would run Christianity Explored, or the youth version of that, and about 100 personal invitations went out to non-Christian friends, and 45 to 50 invitees attended a course for at least one session, and around 20 people stayed on to complete the full 6 or 7 weeks. After that, a number made a profession of faith or recommitment. And then, of course, we evaluated the effectiveness of that initiative, and there were some things about it that we thought were fantastic, and there were some aspects of it that we thought probably weren't long-term going to be as effective as we might have thought. But the point is we continue to learn and we continue to grow. In 2016, I refreshed the Sundays at Six congregational vision. And last week at the evening congregation, I was able to share the results of that vision, what we achieved, what we didn't, and what we learned. Because of the St. Elf's 2020 vision, we have a partnership with St. Luke's. Because of the former Mission Action Plan, in fact, I didn't write this in, but we have the Sundays at Four congregation. Now, these things have enriched our lives together a great deal, and it's exciting to see what the future holds. The point is, at St. Alfred's, imagining the future and taking initiative to serve in new ways, whether improving current ministries, starting new ministries, or partnering with other churches, is part of the ethos here. And this is in line with the gospel of hope. It's been a great learning experience and once again a great privilege to be part of this process. Now finally, the fifth element is fellowship. The Christian life, folks, is not fundamentally about serving, as important as service is. It's not fundamentally about vision, as important as hope and looking to the future is. It's about love. It's about loving God, our Heavenly Father, experiencing His love, and it's about loving one another. And all of these other elements are meant to come in under that grand heading. And I think one of the very greatest privileges of Christian ministry is to hear people's stories, to be invited into their lives, to minister to them in some way. And at St. Alfred's, this happens informally. It happens through pastoral care, whether it be one-on-one meetings with staff members, etc. It happens during our corporate prayer times. And if I can just mention again the importance of these prayer times when we have some prayer teams and pray together, too often in our Anglo-centric culture, the time spent out in the foyer after the service is spent in light conversation. And light conversation has its benefits, it has its values. But when we have our prayer teams, we tend to go much deeper. And so that's another reason why I think that fellowship is deepened by commitment to mutual prayer. But also fellowship happens at our welcome and information gatherings where newcomers meet with one of the pastors and share what brought them to St. Alps. It happens at church camps. I remember a church camp in mid-August 2014 where around 70 young adults went to Marysville for a weekend camp, and we talked about holiness that weekend. We sourced speakers mainly from within the congregation, including some up-and-coming preachers. And that camp was a great time of fellowship and congregational solidarity. And after that, a number of people said, let's really commit more deeply to holiness. Let's get more intentional about our relationship with God and about discipleship. These things happen after church over soup dinners in the hall. You may know that these dinners happen once a month after the evening congregation, and that congregation is greatly indebted to the soup team who have made that monthly ministry possible over the past 3 years. Now look, folks, in conclusion, there's far too much to say. There are too many highlights to mention. There are too many people to thank. I want to thank Peter McPherson for his leadership of this parish over nearly 2 decades. And not many leaders can stay at the helm of a church that long. And it is a testament to his faith, his commitment to the gospel and to the essentials of gospel ministry that St. Elf's continues to be strong today. And during my time here, Peter and the wardens have modelled patience, they've modelled faith, they've modelled steadiness, they've modelled integrity, they've modelled joy in service, and these virtues have made for a positive staff culture to work with. I want to thank the staff for their friendship, their support and care, both those presently on the staff team and those who have been on it before. Now look, in closing, as we've looked at King Solomon recently, we've looked at the theme of wisdom. And it takes a lot of wisdom to lead in Christian ministry, far more wisdom than any of us really possess, to be honest. And as I get more experienced in ministry, I'm nearly up to the 10-year mark now. I'll be at 10 years after 2020, I believe. And I'm reminded that it's Jesus who is our wisdom. And as 1 Corinthians 1:30 puts it, he is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. And to be wise is to be in relationship with the person of God's wisdom, Jesus Christ. He's the source of wisdom. He is wisdom personified. And if we know him and we trust him, we have his Holy Spirit of wisdom dwelling within us. And whatever other wisdom we may possess that is valued by this world, or whatever wisdom we don't possess, that's the key, that's the chief part of wisdom, to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. I've tried to lift him up here, folks. I've tried to make him the hero in my sermons. I've tried to make him the hero in my ministry among you. And we pastors are going to come and go. I've been here for 7 years. Within 3 weeks, you will have forgotten me. It's just the way of things. Oh, come on. It's good. You know, it's... And, you know, but, you know, we change, the world changes, and our churches change, our pastors come and go, but Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he will be here always, he will be with you always, and he'll be with me always. So I thank God for you, I thank God for my time here at St. Else, and I look forward to seeing what God has in store for all of us in the coming years. God bless. Goodbye.